Hello and welcome. This is the February 2022. It's easy for you to say. Shares a waffle. And do you know something, guys? We're going to share a waffle with somebody who was a waffler, who's no longer a waffler. It's like welcoming back into the fold somebody who... Is it prodigal son moment? I'm not quite sure, but what a great way to build it up. Anyway, without further ado, I think we need to introduce them. And the first thing I'm going to do is introduce his wife, because actually Emma and Lloyd are our guests for the middle of the month show. So welcome back, Lloyd, and a big welcome to Emma. Thank you for joining us.
Hi.
You're welcome. That intro made me feel like a bit of like as if I've been a hostage somewhere for many years.
It's kind of like it. It's kind of
they're treating us very well. Yeah. Yeah. Feel like we're very safe here. Don't send the SAS.
I think before we go any further, I know Claire and I are already on warnings from the naughty staff as well. So yeah. Let's get. I'm going to get me retaliation in early because actually it's Lloyd that led us astray. So it's never Claire and I that get the giggles. It was always Lloyd that started the giggles. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get that one in early, Lloyd. So when Claire and I are in fits later on, then you'll still get the blame anyway. Yeah. But it's lovely to have you back on the show. And
awesome to be here.
It's been too long and not catching up and stuff like that. So anyway. Emma, it's good to get you on the show. That's more important. So a big welcome to you, because this is the bit where you're talking to people that Lloyd has sort of spent far too much time online talking with. Yeah. And then you've missed out on a lot of that. So I'm trying to make you feel a little bit at home in just knowing that, you know, we don't bite much. And to be honest,
I feel like I do know you because although I've not been on the show, I can hear so much of the show and I'm just kind of milling around the house. So yeah. I feel like I know you, even though I don't.
The post-Christmas nice. Party where we were all chatting until like 3 a.m.
Yep. Ordering chicken nuggets and
that was the night there was a flood at your house, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I still haven't I still need to do a couple more layers on
that.
You can't get the help these days, can you? I'll repair it.
Yeah, so it seems ages since you've been on the show. So what we'll do is we'll sort of come to that sort of that little missing gap of what you've been doing, what you've been up to. But in the meantime, whilst you've not been here, you're going to be the first people that are going to be confronted with a brand new set of questions. Hey, see what we've done for you.
Emma doesn't like cheese, so she won't have a favourite cheese.
Well, we should have put that on there for you.
That would have been good, wouldn't it? That would have been good. Oh, dear. So, yeah, we've got brand new questions for Carousel of Questions for 2022. Awesome. As we say always, when there's couples on, you don't have to have the same answer. It's really entertaining when you start bickering amongst each other and thinking, oh, you never told me that.
Mm, so, why have you never said that before?
Yeah. Really? But as always, just go with the heart and just sort of see what you blurt out. And then when you listen back, when the show comes out and everyone else is in the car going, oh, hey, do you know, I never thought they'd say that. And you think, oh, bother, I didn't mean to say that. I meant to choose something else. So
Emma will be terrified now because I've said this before on the podcast, so I can say it again. You might be bothered by it, but I've said it before anyway, so there's the caveat. When we go to Florida, as soon as we step in the outbound airport, Emma turns her brain off. So you probably won't be able to say like what resort's your favourite because you won't know where we've stayed.
We don't know the flight number, the terminal number.
If you were to lose me, it's like, okay, what gates? Okay, where are you flying into? It's either Orlando, Miami, Tampa, or maybe another.
Yeah, but you underestimate me because I've got all the passwords, all your emails. I'd work it out.
Okay, fair enough.
Exactly. That's it, Lloyd. Don't underestimate.
Yeah.
Resourcefulness, we like it.
Exactly.
The important information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lloyd's passwords.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Don't worry about that. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go first. I'm gonna take the lead. And it's a question for both of you, because the answer could be different for both. So first one, when did you first step into a Disney park?
Be different, won't it, when we were younger?
Yeah, so I think, well, I was 15, so...
Oh, yeah, was yours Disneyland?
Disneyland, in California, yeah, with my parents. So that was 1999.
I don't know. How old are you now?
1999 was the first time I went to Disneyland in California with my parents on a summer annual trip. How about you?
Mine was, I was nine. Claire, what year will we nine?
1986.
Right, maybe 10 then. So I think it was 1987. 1987/88. And we went over to Walt Disney World for the first time. It was that time when flights were still massively expensive. So we stayed. Sorry, are these like old carousel questions where I should be succinct and quick?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
No, you know better than that, Lloyd.
So it was dead expensive. So we stayed in like a motel type thing in Main Gate East or Main Gate West, whichever one it was. Did all the parks, and it wasn't a 14-day ticket. It was the paid for X amount of days, and they punched a hole in your ticket every single day. And I think the first park. In fact, it wasn't a Disney park we went into the first day. Controversially these days, it was SeaWorld.
I thought you were going to say Gatorland.
Yeah, so SeaWorld was the first one we went into. We did SeaWorld, then we did Walt Disney World after that. But whatever year it was, Claire, what was that, 88?
88, I reckon.
So that was my first step in a Disney park.
And then the first time we went together.
Oh, yeah, first time together.
Was on our honeymoon. So that was 2014, wasn't it? But that was Disney World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the first park?
I can't remember. It'll be in our diary.
Oh, we were staying in Grand Floridian. It was Magic Kingdom. It was Wonderland. There's a quick, concise answer for you.
Question one of 100. Joe, I'll take the second question. Which Pixar character do you most relate to?
Oh.
I think we should turn that around and say which character do we think they most relate to.
I can answer this one. Wall-E, because I'm not particularly good at articulating exactly how I feel, am I? Sometimes, but my actions convey it very perfectly and artistically and beautifully, like Wall-E.
It's funny you should say that, because I would say you're the other way around.
Oh.
Action takes not so much, but you articulate. I think you articulate pretty well.
All right, so a nice speech. So, like, selling myself like Gaston, then. That's Disney. What about you?
I don't know. What would you say about me?
I don't know. You kind of.
Be careful.
Yeah. It's dangerous territory.
Bo Peep, because, like, in the first few, the first few movies, quite sort of beautiful, you know, porcelain doll, and then you just come into your own. And when you get to know you, you're very adventurous and whip off and you're like, come on,
how many minutes in are we?
Woody, like, 10.
Yeah, that's what I see.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, I suppose then I'm Woody because I've always been looking for my Bo Peep.
No. Yeah.
Oh. Hey, oh, dug yourself out of all there, Lloyd. Goodness. Just people sat listening. Yeah. People sat listening, making notes there, you know.
Next time I lay the footy, I'll use that one. And that one.
Go on, Becca.
Okay, so what's your favourite bathroom at Walt Disney World?
Do you know the thing that always springs out to me? I think you know what I'm going to say.
You're going to say the worst now?
No.
Because you had the worst when we were there last time.
Oh, the worst?
Yeah.
Worst bathroom?
Surprisingly worst bathroom.
Oh, hang on. Should I say what I like?
Yeah, say what you like first. Answer the question first, and we can digress. Yeah. So Ben can cut all the digressions.
Oh, no, I'm leaving it all in.
I always move on to the next point too quickly, don't I?
Yeah, only when you're shouting at me.
What was the hotel? I can't remember the hotel, but I remember the mirror distinctly in the bathroom, and it was quite a rectangular mirror, and then it was
with
like
the yellow and stuff.
Yeah,
like
it was blue, no, yeah, yellow, and kind of a gradated around. Really
that,
nice.
That's a room bathroom, and that is Sapphire Falls.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, but no, in this show, the one an actual bathroom you've been into and used, like in the parks.
Oh, I don't know.
Tangle Toilets is always a good one, but yeah. You can't say Tangle Toilets.
Well, I don't know then. Well, I can say, just as being a mum, I've been in the kind of, what's it called, the mum and baby unit in
baby changing.
Walt Disney World, and that was amazing. I have to say, as a mum,
you tried them all,
it was
didn't
amazing.
You? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, the main one, was it near the entrance, or whereabouts is it situated? The
Magic Kingdom?
Yeah.
It's up by Crystal Palace.
But the facilities were fantastic, but...
Is that a good enough answer, Ben?
Yeah.
I'll let you do Caesar and go up.
I still can't believe how we managed to do a whole episode on bathrooms.
I think there's another one.
I
liked the Gico ones.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're really, really nice, really plush, smell good as well.
I remember you coming out and saying that, and the women's were very non-distinct. So I'm thinking, what's going on in the men's there? Because I remember
women's toilets, there's couches, there's magazines. Finally, we've had it addressed where there's a great toilet for guys.
No, I don't know what was in there, but he did like it.
Sounded weird, the same discussion about toilets. Was it these ones by Sonar?
The ladies' ones are really nice.
The Sonar toilets are amazing.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're
probably, you know, taking a theme between the two the two neighbouring hotels. And then worst, well, not worst, but when we were in Gasparilla Grill on Floridian.
Oh, yeah. We had a really bad experience, didn't we?
Well, I didn't. You took Bronin.
Yeah. I think just because, obviously, hygiene's sort of more on your priority list, perhaps, now than what it had been pre-COVID, and so you sort of more, well, I've always been aware of hygiene obviously, but you kind of your senses so. Are even more heightened towards it. And we were at the Grand Floridian in the cafe, what's it called,
Gasparilla,
and their toilets, and I just took Brody in, our five-year-old, and not great things on the floor that you don't want to see on the floor, and just tissue paper.
All right, that sounds bad.
Toilet's not flushed, and
yeah,
I don't know.
They should be on top of it, shouldn't they? So you don't expect that at the Grand Floridian.
No, I think that was the other point. It was just even more alarming when you're in the Grand Floridian, and you have certain expectations of a high-end hotel and resort like that. So
again, Ben. Quick fire.
<You're doing great. laughs> We're on question four. Which is your favourite Disney mountain?
I know mine. Mine is Everest, Expedition Everest. Almost killed my dad on it. With his heart condition and his little watch was beeping when we got off it.
Yeah.
Didn't you feel good on that? I'm going to do a lot of space, but mine's Everest. And the theme, and you know, we almost got there, but we did, didn't we? On the show,
the Wednesday show,
It was Wednesday last Wednesday.
Yeah,
there's so much to talk about. Yeah, it's amazing. The theming, all around it, you can stand on one side where you've got the bit of the lake behind, and then Everest in the distance, and almost pretend that you're in you know, Nepal, you've got all the, you know, the stuff across. That's cool. Do you mind?
Yeah, I admire what you said. Just because you're so enthusiastic about it, I kind of get some of your enthusiasm.
You don't like getting wet, do you, on Splash? Space Mountain, you're not impressed with at all?
No, I'm not fussed.
And then Big Thunder.
Yeah, so I'd agree with you on that one.
Well, that was quicker.
That was quicker.
I'm impressed. There we go. So, next one then. Who's your favourite villain and why?
Oh, that's a hard one.
That's a hard question, especially if you want it quick. Yeah. I know who yours would be.
What?
Because it's your mum.
Oh, God, here we go.
Who's your mum?
I know what you're going to say.
Ursula. Her mum won't watch this. But her mum's
got you better hope she won't.
Oh, my
goodness.
Honestly.
I don't think I caught it on camera. I was filming a bit of Journey Under the Sea. And I went, there's Grandma. And I've got the boys going, look, it's Grandma. It's Grandma. Poor and fortunate.
Did you realise? Family video and you uploaded it to YouTube and then you sent the link to mum.
No, that I'm sure that wasn't on that bit. And if it was, she could have got self-reflection.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, that would answer for you then, but that's not really, well, I don't know. I don't know. It's a really hard one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard.
Gaston is cool. They're getting a spin-off, a live-action spin-off. Or what's the phrase for live-action these days?
Live-action.
Was it? Oh, no, it wasn't full. Anamorphic?
Anamorphic.
That's when that was a live, the Lion King one, wasn't it?
Yeah, like Jungle Book and Lion King.
Right, so it's not that. But, yeah, when they do the next Beauty and the Beast, they're doing, well, not the next Beauty and the Beast, they're doing a spin-off, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in the prequel series with Gaston and LeFou.
Yeah, so that's good. I think as a baddie, a little bit misunderstood, a little bit arrogant, a little bit jealous, but yeah, I think Gaston maybe would be yours.
I'm not sure.
And I do.
No, I don't know.
You can't give it, don't know. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
You're going to go for Ursula because it's your mum?
Well, yeah, I was thinking of that and... She's got good songs in their movies.
Well, yeah, Jill picked her for Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Yeah, I do like that song. That's it's a good, strong song that you do remember.
Jeremy Irons has got good songs for Lion King, hasn't he, for Scar. Mm-hmm. Emma's got a bit of a dancing and musical theatre background, so shows that kind of thing.
Yeah, a good tune.
Yeah. Well, Elsa?
She's not a villain.
Oh, no, she's not. I was equating you. So I was basically, you've been mistaken.
That's the alternative version of Frozen.
Yeah, in a lot of the new Disney movies, there's not a baddie per se, is there? Not like back in the 90s, sort of the 90s films. No. It's not,
someone to boo at, yeah.
Yeah. It's not a click-up villain from like beginning to end.
Yeah, yes. So, yeah.
No.
So we'll go with Ursula.
All right, yeah, because it's your mum.
Stick with that. No, not because it's my mum.
Okay, because of the songs.
Because of the songs,
right,
yeah.
But I'll know the real reason.
Okay.
So does everyone else.
Okay. Which Epcot World Showcase country is your must-do?
Ooh.
Ooh. I know mine.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Well, do yours first, then.
Well, we like Japan, don't
we?
Yeah,
we love Japan.
Yeah, we like going to Japan. Like the shop there as well.
Yeah.
It's really good value.
I'm not going to try and pronounce the name of the shop.
Oh, I've not got a clue.
Mitsukoshi. I was going to say Matsu something else, but that's
Telemaker.
Yeah,
there's loads of interesting things in there.
Oh, yeah, it's
prices
amazing.
Are really reasonable. Oh,
for the Japanese adorn stuff, it's kimono Japanese, or is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the Japanese kimonos, they're really reasonable. You know, they weren't putting on the Disney hike as usual, because we were going to get one. We couldn't find your size, could we?
Even for like little gifts, you can pick up like little, you know, little lipstick cases for like a couple of dollars and stuff like that. So it's really interesting to look around, isn't it?
And we did the Pearl.
The Pearl experience when they did do it. They've stopped doing it now, haven't they?
Yeah.
During COVID.
And then we got, it was on our honeymoon. Emma got the largest, picked the largest pearl of the day, which is meant to be good luck. Huge pearl, and then we've lost. I've lost it since,
which must be bad luck.
Yeah, and then we went back this time, and the counter's shut because of COVID. So couldn't even buy me a new one.
We will do. We will do at some point.
Never mind.
It's one of Disney Springs that'll open up at some point as well. So
yeah,
we can go and do that.
It won't be long. Everything else is sort of opening up from COVID. So
yeah.
And then we did teppanyaki. What's it called? Teppanyaki restaurant there.
Yeah, we did that on our honeymoon. That was good.
We love that. But I think I've told the story before on the podcast a while ago, where basically another couple of families have been in there, all going for a meal together. And I think it was three families. So they basically put all the parents on one table, six parents, all the kids going on the spare table. We were a couple, so we were basically on the kids' table. Our experience.
Which at the time we caught up with, and we were on our honeymoon, so we were a bit miffed that we were on the kids' table, but we caught up with it. It was fine. The kids were like really
super behaved. Yeah, it was nice.
They were,
but it was like, come on.
They were more teenagers. But I think had that situation happened now, and say, for example, we had a kid-free night, and then we went and got put on the kids' table, definitely asked me to be moved.
Yeah, these days, we had another kids when we got there.
Yeah, like, oh, give me a break.
Don't want more kids. My meal. So I'm Japan. Are you Japan?
Yeah, I like Japan. Yeah.
Oh, great answer. Like that.
So what is your favourite Magic Kingdom land?
Mine's dead easy. Because I cry every time I go in when it's the first favourite trip. Because I hear that the music doesn't change. Even when they do a new evolution of the music, it's still the same sort of vibe and feel to it. And it just gets me. And I'm 9, I'm 10, I'm 11 again, and I'm just walking in.
Things happen all the time. For some reason, when we're walking towards that land, Lloyd always seems to be sort of like 10, 20 feet in front of me for some reason. Yeah. And he might be pushing a pram, and he's like walking down like this, and I'll be behind him, and he just gets to that, you know, the arch where it says Tomorrowland, and the music hits me. And he just turns around and looks at me. I can just see tears in his eyes every time without fail.
Yeah, I stop for a hug, don't I, just to recharge and move on.
Oh. So funny.
Yeah, so that's definitely mine. And it's a great, great land. It feels, we might talk about this later, it feels busier these days. It used to feel like really open and loads of space there. But now it feels like the queues are coming, or the lines to the Americans are coming back into the space a little bit. It just felt really, really full, didn't it?
Yeah.
These days. But I still love it. There's not a great deal there. So like 1, 2, 3, 4. It's probably 5, 6 rides. But yeah, I love it. I love just the music and the feel of it, and the fact that it's dated, but dated in a really, really cool way, where it's like retro futurism now. And I really like it. Yeah. You know, Astro Orbiter looks cool. It's really, you know, it's not the future now, but it looks really, really good.
Does it remind you of your childhood? Is that why you like it?
Yeah, that's why I feel it. Because
nostalgic.
Yeah, it hasn't changed that much, and the music hasn't changed that much. So, yeah, that's why I like it.
You can't beat the People Mover.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, no way.
Are you actually going to tell this story?
Well, I was filming a little bit. Like, we don't do vlogs yet. We might do it at some point, but we do like basically a family video, and then we put it on YouTube just so we've got somewhere to store it, because the computer's full. You'll know with Final Cut editing, Ben, it takes up all the space just for this weird rendering thing it does all the time. So we've put it on there to look at. But I was filming at this point. So I was filming the kids. It was the coldest day in the whole holiday. It was 29, 30 degrees the whole time.
Yeah, and we weren't really dressed for it.
And so this day it was like, it was sort of 14, 15, wasn't it, in the morning? So the boys were cold and moody. We told them People Mover was an inside ride because that's 50-50 lie and truth. So we thought that's fine. But then, so I was filming on it, and the boys were a bit moody, but then you lost your... What?
As a gust of wind came by on the outside bit, and I'd like my hair just went all in my face. I was like, ugh. And then I flicked my hair out of my face, and as I flicked, I had fake eyelashes in and flicked my eyelash off. And I was
oh,
like,
no.
Oh, no.
I cannot walk around all day with one eyelash on and one eyelash off.
First world problems, everybody. First world problems.
I'm telling you a story. But,
I can't believe he's just. Out of that, that was horrific, Lloyd.
And then we spent the whole of the rest of the ride looking in our little carriage, whatever you call it, for the eyelash. And we hadn't even had the kids looking for it as well. Hilarious. Anyway, Lloyd found it, so it's all good.
There you go.
Well,
he did get good brownie points that day.
Oh,
so, yeah. Sorry, what was the question?
Favorite land.
Oh, yeah. I still mind your favorite land. Magic Kingdom.
I like the is it Fantasyland? Is that where's the area with like all aerial and that's kind of my genre that I like. Fantasyland. Yeah, all the girl, you know, the girly like movies.
The girly movies. Yeah, it's got aerial and like Beast Castle. Area, and toilets. Bell. Yeah, the tiny little tower you see.
Small world.
Yeah, that's my kind of thing. The girly bit. Yeah.
Breaking down stereotypes here, Emma. Built you up as Bo Peep, taking out in.
Okay, next question. Which is your favourite nighttime parade or fireworks spectacular at Walt Disney World?
Ooh. It'll be the same because it'll be. I don't know, you might say something different. But it was Wishes from the top of the Contemporary from California Grill.
Yeah, that was a special night, wasn't it?
Yeah. Are you going to go any different?
No, because that was on our honeymoon, wasn't it? We were at the grill and Contemporary and watched the firework display from up there, and it's a fantastic, fantastic view.
I don't think anything else could
top it. No, maybe it was just because we were on our honeymoon, so you've got that kind of added.
Yeah, we saw Harmonious across a roadway and a hedge.
it's the best way of watching it.
I was going to say that's the best view, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, so we were at the far side of Old Key West. We're basically in Tampa, if you can sit, in relation to where the hub is in Old Key West, but. So Old Key West Resort, but great, we had a golf course view, so sit on the balcony, great, sit out there when the kids are in bed. But then, first night we heard the bangs and pops of fireworks, Epcot's the closest, went out the front door onto the front sort of walkway, you go down the steps, we could see the Harmonious fireworks across the way. So we kind of did that pretty much every other night, didn't we?
Yeah.
The kids in bed got out there with a drink and you couldn't see the lower end of the fireworks, but you could see the top end. You could see the best ones.
Yeah.
And we started to predict what's coming in. We're going to get the ones over there in a second, the third or fourth time we'd seen it. But we went out every time it was going on, the kids were asleep, we'd go out and watch it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't beat Wishes.
Yeah.
We do miss Wishes. Anyway.
That's a really good answer. That's a really lovely answer. So, what's your favourite restaurant outside of the parks?
Ooh, outside? I've got two. Do you want to go first?
Are you going to say the Contemporary first?
No, outside. Do you mean outside of Disney or outside the parks?
I think off-property.
Off-property, off-site.
Right. Let's go for it. So mine's a bit of a cheat, one of them. Because it's Universal is that still on property?
It's off Disney.
It's off Disney property.
Because we did a second honeymoon, didn't we? 6 months after the first one, and we just did 10 days and doing Universal, and Cowfish at City Walk we did on our first night.
Ah.
We've done that since. We love that, and it was my first sort of taste of sriracha sauce. I had them on the tables. So I love that, and a massive. I can't remember what the name of the burger is. Where they do, what's it called? Do you remember?
Mm.
It was like so much meat, and then you've got peanut butter and all sorts of other bits. Ah, It was amazing. And sweet potato fries.
I think it was the first. That was the meal that introduced you to putting peanut butter on a burger. Yeah. And his mind was blown. It's become just a regular staple in our house. But at the time, he was like, whoa, this is crazy.
I've never known peanut butter on a burger before.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Well, they do peanut butter and banana, but I don't like banana. And I wouldn't put banana on a burger, even if I liked it. But peanut butter, oh, it's amazing.
Does it actually taste good?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm scared to try it.
It's really nice. Yeah, it's fantastic.
There you go.
I'm just imagining if they run out of peanut butter, they just put Reese cups on top.
Yeah, that'd be better.
No.
That's what I'll do next. We try and recreate some meals at home, so we'll do that at some point.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd say. That's quite difficult because when we eat off property, it's usually because we're trying to save a bit of money. Yeah. So.
Has to be done.
Yeah, we usually eat quite modestly when we eat off property, don't we? We kind of save when we want to splurge money-wise for the special restaurants in the park. And then when we eat off property, we kind of eat at Miller's and stuff like that.
Yeah, but we don't cut corners. You still get a great meal.
I'm not saying it's not special. Yeah. And I wouldn't, you know, say it's my favourite. It's just a means to an end.
You like Miller's, don't you? No, but you like the Osabuka?
Buka?
The lamb. Is it lamb?
It's lamb, yeah. It's like a leg of lamb, I suppose.
And it's the first time when we're in Florida, when we go to Miller's, that we can see some green. So I'll always get steak in Miller's. And it's like $16. I've got a huge steak. I've got sweet potato fries and a big, big portion of broccoli.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm keeping myself alive in the steak.
You must have something green.
The T-Rex cafe, but that is still technically property, I suppose. It's Disney Springs.
Yeah, it's Disney Springs.
Does that count? I don't know.
Yeah, but that was a
fun experience.
That was a means to an end, wasn't it? So we keep the kids quiet.
Yeah.
If you don't eat your dinner, we'll set the dinosaurs on you.
Yeah.
If they're distracted, we have such a better experience. We're not going to have kids, but you do, don't you? What we need is we need a Disney restaurant that's got a bit to an outside and have a climbing frame or something.
Yeah, we discussed it. That's all we need. A climbing area where you can sit and eat and just watch them from a distance on the climbing frame.
With a soft floor.
The T-Rex cafe works so well because in between courses, we could actually just go for a wander around and look at the dinosaurs. So it just meant that they weren't bored for any length of time. Yeah, they're either eating or when we were waiting, they were looking around, weren't they?
Yeah.
So that worked well. But yeah, we need a pub with a climbing frame, basically. Yeah. That's what we're looking for.
The UK model.
Yeah.
Dropped in Disney.
Rose and Crown gets an upgrade soon.
I was just thinking that. I've got this vision of soft play area in the back of the Rose and Crown.
You're going to print money, aren't you? Because parents are going to stay there for hours.
To get the kids out, probably.
Good. Yeah. Just stay there and look around. Yeah.
You're in Epcot, eat and drink around the world.
So what they really need to do then is just put a restaurant next to places like the Boneyard and...
Yeah.
Honey, I Shrunk the...
Yeah, where that...
Or the very least, a bar, an outside bar. That'd be a great idea,
yeah. Boneyard bar.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I like that idea.
You crack on, kids. You take as much There's all the digging to do.
It'd be the best big thing. It'll save Bob's career.
I think it's sketchy at the minute.
Yeah, we can have that one on us, definitely.
Yeah, we give him so many things, don't we? And he still doesn't help himself out.
No. Okay, we've got your final question. Food and wine or flower and garden?
Ooh, food and wine.
Yeah, I'm food and wine. Yeah. I don't think why we wouldn't be. Flower and Garden's nice, and you do get a bit of art there as well at the time. But yeah, food and wine.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Well, the second half of the title is a no-brainer for you.
Yeah, the wine.
Yeah. And I'll just have a bit of the food.
And the wine.
And they do some nice beers as well.
And the wine.
I had a beer called, what was it called? It was called Hoppageddon. Up towards the American Pavilion, the last food and wine we went to. And it was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I think it was very, very strong, but it was really nice. And it was accompanied by Oh, it was a lobster roll or a lobster and crab roll. Boston lobster and crab roll as well with that. Oh, it was beautiful.
You didn't finish it off with a funnel cake and...
Oh, we're not. I'm not that sweet. I've got really sweet tooth, but I don't do that sweet when we go to Disney.
Yeah, it's a funny one, yeah. He has got a really sweet tooth, but then when we go away...
I don't really do it. I don't know why.
Because it's disgusting.
Do you think it's just like the weather, the heat? Oh, it's just...
I think it'd just be like going down a slippery road. It's just like a gateway drug. If we're going to any sort of sweets in Disney, it'd just be like the whole time. Just like,
do you go to the caramel shop in Germany, or do you avoid that?
I walk near it, and then I just know I'm getting to. Yeah. Well, that means like, no, I can't go.
Like a bistro kid. Like,
it's the smell you walk past that just drags you in there.
I do like. Last time we were staying Animal Kingdom Lodge, they did a peanut butter brownie cupcake.
Yes.
I brought back to the room for you. And it must have been before we had Bo, because Brody had fallen asleep on you and you were asleep, and I just ate it. That was nice.
Most of the snacks you find at Animal Kingdom Lodge are really amazing. Nice.
We haven't done Zebra Domes yet. We're going to do this time in May.
We always look at them when we get them.
Well, let's get them. And then for some reason, we don't. I don't know why.
You look at them, they're $4.30 or something. Yeah, and it's like... Yeah.
I've only had them at Boma. When we've eaten at Boma, they have them on the buffet, on the dessert. Yeah.
You go and it's like four Thorntons nice chocolates, but it's $4. So it's like,
yep.
They taste a bit like Bailey's. Yeah. They've sort of got like almost like a Kahlua flavour to them. They're nice, but I wouldn't spend a lot of money on them.
No.
Yeah.
No.
People go,
and especially Boma's got on the buffet. It makes a nice trip there.
You can have
I think we might do Boma.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's made Boma very tempting for the next trip.
Yeah. Take a box and just
Oh, I put a few too many on my plate. Can I box it up to go? Yeah.
Put it in your purse. Put it in your purse.
So if Zebra Domes start disappearing from Animal Kingdom Lodge, we'll know why.
We know why. Yeah.
We've had to implement this policy due to one guest.
Two domes only.
Yeah. Brilliant. Hey, do you know something? For the first carousel of questions, that's been absolutely superb. Yeah. And do you know something? I think you've led the way for other people who, do you know something? They're probably just taking notes now and thinking, oh, some of those questions are actually a little bit tougher than the first lot. So,
very tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. We expect in 10 minutes.
Right.
Not at all. Not at all.
John wrote them, so expecting 10 hours.
It's once a waffler, always a waffler, Lloyd. Yeah. That's what comes in there. And you've alluded to quite a bit within some of your answers as well, because you not long back from a family trip with three young children,
yeah,
which I think it deserves a medal in itself. No, not at all. And I think this is a nice thing, because actually in some of our recent shows we've been trying to talk about planning for going again, which you've already got another trip booked.
Yeah.
But I think as well, some of you, you know, I think for everybody who, you know, I know Ben and Becca, you've done your vlog and things are different, you know, and I think this is where it's quite an important thing to understand it, particularly going with young children. You know, how different was it? You went over Christmas, or in the run up to Christmas. I think it was a real special time for the kids as well. You know, tell us a bit about your trip, because that's all we asked you on here. Yeah. We want to know about your trip. That's it.
We're going to pick your brains. I'm going to see you next.
I think the first thing, which is the major difference, was, you know, pre-trip. There's one side was the uncertainty. Are we going to go? Which affected the excitement about going, because the final hurdle to go in is that LFT test the day before flying. So usually we're like a kid in the sweet shop. We're like, it was so exciting, you know, like weeks before, but this time we'd lost what, three holidays? How many we lost to COVID?
Yeah, I think this was our four. This holiday being arranged three times.
And March, May, October. Yeah, so we'd lost three.
Fourth time lucky, yeah.
And we thought we were going to get March. Didn't happen, and then we were thinking, we knew May would go, but we thought October would get, we didn't get, and so the excitement was different. It's all pin. I'm excited, but we're holding it back, aren't we?
Yeah, and it wasn't just pinned on that final test the day before you go. Like, our children are school age, they're at primary school. We're not regularly testing them because you don't have to test primary school children in the UK. You're only testing them if they get symptoms. So we're even sort of anxious in the 2 weeks leading up to the holiday, thinking, oh, God, yeah, are we going to catch
you
it?
You can't take them out of school. We start work from home a bit more on the lead up, yeah, but then the kids aren't. And then there was four different criteria for testing through our whole stay. So before we're going, we've got, there's Emma and myself, and there's Brody, who's five, there's Beau, who's three, and there's Roman, who is one. So there's different testing criteria based on age, so going into either country. So US, it was four of us, so it was our three-year-old, five-year-old, and us. How old are you?
Irrelevant
point. So that's
he keeps coming back to that, Emma. I'm not quite sure. You know,
it was a birthday Saturday, so I've just been winding her up.
Happy 21st, Emma.
The answer is not as old as you, Lloyd.
Oh,
yeah. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's true. I'll just
So four of us LFTs, three or five rolled us two before we go into the US, day before we travel. Kids are in school. We did, I know Ben and Becky, you used Breathe Assured. We used...
We used Cured, actually.
Oh, did you? Did the same.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, very good. But basically, they only start doing their sessions because it's supervised test at 9 in the morning.
Yep.
Kids are in school, so we had to do something from 3 in the afternoon for the testing. So we're going out to Heathrow that night because Daddy's found a way to save £1,500, so we're flying Heathrow to Miami. Yeah, it's a massive inconvenience.
It has to be done, Lloyd.
Yeah, so that was really stressful because we could only test once the children came out of school, so from like 3:30 onwards, but we were travelling down to Heathrow that evening, so we were like aiming in our own heads to
just want to get on the road.
5. So we were literally rushing through the test and getting them done as soon as we could so that we could jump in the car and then go.
Went into the first waiting room of whatever it was, E2 or whatever it was, and then nothing. Past the appointment time. 10 minutes rolls by because we did in 10 minutes apart.
Yeah, all our appointments back.
Into the next appointment. I'm stressing, going, we missed that first appointment now. No one's come into it, so we opened up another window for Bo. His appointment suddenly pops up, so like I'm getting Emma do that appointment. Bo,
lots of tests to do. We literally had three different computers open,
different screens on.
What a nightmare!
Do this and set a timer for this and write on this, and we're like, oh, this is, I need Stephen Hawking here to just...
It was absolutely calming.
But the main thing is, they all pop up and you don't see that first line come.
Yeah.
And then when it gets to about that point of that first line, because the liquid's there, it goes a bit darker at the time and you're going, oh, my God. And then it goes past, you're like, great, first one done. Three tests later, all four done, great. Sent off to Cured, great. Get in the car, drive down to Heathrow, get excited. But then it's like, Emma, you're going to have to drive because I'm going to have to, when these certificates come back, are you going to be able to upload them to the Verify app? Well, so I'll do it then. So Emma drove down. So I'm going, beep, 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 the certificates come back, Verify app. So that was the first big difference. It was the night before, getting everything sorted. Once everything's uploaded to Verify, we could check in online. Great. Sorted. Got to the Premier in Bath Road. Yeah, fine. Lovely. You know, as lovely as £39 a night can get you. It's fine. It's close. It's got everything you need. The next major difference is basically just the mask in the airport.
Well, we'll just talk about testing.
Yeah.
We then, when we got there, so we had to test two or three.
The four different levels, yeah.
But obviously America tests, well, they vaccinate children over 5, which is different here. So that meant if you're double jabbed, you didn't have to test. So we didn't have to test on day 2 or 3, but our eldest son did have to.
No, Brody and Bo had to test. So we had to test them.
That was quite trouble.
Within 3 days of the holiday. So that was test number 2. Sorry, I've got away with myself here. So yeah, testing. Before we came home, different criteria again, just me and Emma. And then when we were back, the PCR over 5. So me, Emma and Brody.
Yeah,
so we got all four of us, two boys, three of us, and then four of us coming back.
Yeah.
It's a minefield. Do you think that
confusing?
Either everyone gets tested or none of you get tested. It's just hopefully by the time the next trip rolls around, it'll all be simpler. Well, we hope.
Now coming home, we don't need to. There's no test until we come back.
Yeah.
Which is cool. We're still going to test going into the US in May when we go.
Yeah. The other thing that like you were just going to go on to was the masks. Yeah. So in UK, children don't have to wear masks, but the children were expected to wear masks.
Oh yeah, because the US airspace.
So even though our US children plane. Are 5 and 3, they still have to wear masks, which I think is too young. Really,
3's too young. Keeping a mask on a 3-year-old.
5.
Yeah, but they're very good, and you know they were play. It was almost like playing a game of copy mum and dad, wasn't it? So we got matching masks with we got them from the WDW outlet actually. So they're all Christmas matching Disney masks. So the boys did wear them, but they started getting funny on the plane and.
I think the main thing with the plane, we were quite lucky because we flew British Airways, was it?
Yeah.
So. Because it was an American flight, the boys were expected to wear the masks for the duration of the flight. It's 9 hours for a 5 and a 3-year-old. It's a long time to wear a mask. Yeah. However, because it was a British cabin crew, even though all adults were expected to wear the mask, and the children were on paper, they did turn a blind eye to the children. I think because they were
within,
British.
Within reason, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, within reason. Because they were good. British crew, they had a British mindset, maybe, because children in this country don't wear them, they just did turn a blind eye. And it wasn't just our children, it was as a whole on the plane. So that was a relief to us as a family. Coming back on the other side, it was even more of a relief that they were sort of laid back about the children on the plane, because the American airports were very, very strict on the children wearing masks, extremely strict. So when we arrived in America, for example, and we're going through security at border control, they would make the children take down their masks to check their appearance. And then the security guard would very specifically say, now put your mask back on. And that was to our 3-year-old. And we're like, oh, gosh, right, okay, put your mask back on. And it just meant on the return flight home, by the time we got on the plane, they'd already worn the masks for almost 3 hours in the airport, going through security checks, baggage checking, wandering around. Like, they were already done by the time we got on the plane, and then to ask them to wear it for the 7-hour flight home, it's too much. It's too much. It's not pleasant for an adult, so for a 3-year-old, it's just...
Yeah. But, they played ball where they needed to, which was good.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things. And hopefully, because of HEPA filters on planes and things, they'll do. Certainly, if you're sitting in a row of three with your own family, you might start looking at it a bit more logically.
Yeah, but Disneyland wasn't too bad. Disney World wasn't too bad, was it? Because it was outdoors, no masks, indoors, wear a mask. And our kids were pretty accustomed by that point to kind of keep on putting them on and off. You're outdoors quite a lot. There's quite a lot of relief for them.
Yeah, it felt, apart from the mask mandate for indoors in Disney, it didn't feel much different when we were there.
No.
Really?
Yeah. That's good. It was, you know, Disney falls into two counties, so one's got a mask mandate or did have and one doesn't. So I know Disney does a blanket. But certainly, you know, if we were in the hotel... We had open plan or outside facing rooms for our two hotel stays. So coming out the room, it wasn't a case of put your mask on, boys, or we put our mask on. That was kind of nice. And if we go around to the pool, the mask didn't appear.
That's true, actually. That probably did help us a lot, having outdoor facing rooms, that we weren't kind of walking out our room into a corridor where you got to wear them instantly.
Yeah,
didn't feel it there. It was only sort of, if we were going in somewhere, we'd put them on, like we do here, going into Tesco's or somewhere. Yeah. So it didn't feel too different. And then obviously in the county without a mask mandate, you go into Target and it was kind of 50-50. We'd put them on, but we'd kind of gauge the boys whether they wanted to or not, because it wasn't the law there. And certainly driving up from Miami, south with no mask mandate, the first service station we stopped up on the drive up, went in there. It's a new experience walking in. No one was wearing a mask. Sheriff's deputy walks in. You go, I was wearing a mask. And I'm just, you know, you always feel funny if someone of the law walks in. I've got anything. Let me walk through customs. I've got nothing dodgy in my bag, but I always feel a bit. The sheriff's deputy walked in, no mask on, walking around. And it's like, right, okay, this is the norm.
I'd say there are I think there's so much more laid back about the whole COVID thing from what I saw in Florida. I mean, at home, I was really taken aback that we'd go to like the local supermarket, Target or whatever. And I don't know what it's like where you live, but they've got all these at our local Tesco hygiene stations, and you wipe down your basket and you wipe down the trolley and you can do your hands and sanitize and things and on you go. So I arrived at Target ready to like sanitize my trolley because we're being super careful because I'm in the back of my head thinking I can't catch COVID. I need to get home. So, and then literally looking around like, where's the sanitizer? Sanitizing station, non-existent, literally non-existent.
Well, you go to one and there's nothing in it.
Yeah, but they didn't have like a station to wipe down anything.
Oh, they didn't have a station to wipe down. No.
Yeah. And that's just kind of the way it was. It was so much laid back than in the UK.
It's kind of nice because if we've got our own hand once and we're worried about ourselves, really, in the scheme of things here, not to feel selfish, but then it's kind of nice to kind of forget about, not forget about it, but
Yeah.
Yep. You always had one with you, didn't you?
Yeah.
Forget that it existed there because I don't think they're as hot on it as what we are. So I think if, unless you're in the know, obviously you're aware people sometimes wear masks, sometimes not. Other than that, everyone's very chilled and laid back about it all, I'd say. Yeah, so I'd say go. When you're there, you feel pretty safe.
Yeah.
Did you feel the magic when you were there?
Yeah. Yeah, there's different reasons why sometimes it didn't. I feel, and I've probably said this in podcasts on the show before. Disney's feeling busier and busier and busier all the time. And we used to go, and before the kids, we'd go September all the time because it was the best kept secret. And then all these forums popping up and getting more popular. And then suddenly on the dip, it's like, go September. And then everyone goes September and then go with it. And then everyone's going every quiet month. So it's complete saturation and it's just busy. And I think that takes a little bit away from it in the parks, but we kind of, in a way now, where we feel it from the resorts and just being in the bubble, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as opposed to the parks. We like the resorts and take enjoyment from our surroundings.
Yeah, and we feel it there. It's what we like. So, you know, we kind of move away a little bit from the parks in our trips these days.
Yeah, I think in recent years, we've just spent a lot of time just taking and using the hotel facilities, haven't we? Taking enjoyment from that, as opposed to...
They're just as magical. The cast members are just as good. If not, you know, they're more focused in their role sometimes, you know, in certain positions. And the facility, it's just the quality. And
so, for example, something that we've started to experience recently that we hadn't previously is the resorts community halls. So the halls that are really geared up for the children and the families. Never stepped foot in one until this, I think it was this trip.
Yeah, it was the first time I've ever been.
First time. So we first went to the community hall at Old Key West. Yeah. Our kids, age 5 and 3, loved it, literally. Every single day we had a request from our eldest child to go. So it's just a big community hall, like loads of arts and crafts around, lots of free little activities for them.
Free.
Yes. Yeah. For them to do. There are paid activities to do as well.
But they're not too expensive, but it's a nominal fee,
it's a phenomenal fee to do some extra arts and crafts. But we found that there was plenty of free things to do that we didn't really have to go into the paid element. Arts and crafts, books around, little games.
Yeah, and the cast members. Yeah. We remember our boys, and then one even changed resort. She went from Old Key West to Saratoga Springs, and when we changed resort, we walked in, and it was Christmas Day.
Oh, wow.
We walked in Christmas Day afternoon, and walked in, and she turned around, and she went, "My boys," like that.
Oh, lovely.
You know, she just made up to see them. It was just amazing, wasn't she? And then she came. We said, we're not going to stay for long tonight. The boys want to see the arcade because it's got a big arcade. And she spoke to a supervisor and a supervisor came back with two arcade cards with $10 on each.
Oh,
so go and experience it.
Yeah.
Which I've still got because Christmas Day, I don't know if this is every resort, you go in the arcade, it's free play.
Free.
Well, yeah, we can't confirm that, but when we went in the arcade, we started playing, and then we sort of had this realization.
Won't take my money.
Yeah, and then both kept in getting goes. And
we were
playing on all these games, we're never giving him any money. Then we realised that every single game in the place was free. And then we're thinking, what's this? And no one else was in there.
Yeah.
But then we sort of put two and two together, and we might have got this wrong, but we thought because it was Christmas Day, they might have turned everything off and made all the games free. I don't know. That's just a guess.
But. So we've still got the two $10 cards.
Yeah, so we never spent the $10
cards. When we go back this time, which would be nice for her. Oh.
Yeah.
But that was just lovely. It was just out of the blue. You know, she just came along and did that.
And they got Christmas hampers.
Oh, yeah, and Christmas little bags and stuff.
Chocolates and colouring sets.
And but that was lovely, and that's magical for them. And we loved it as well, didn't we? It was just nice just to feel that sort of warmth.
Well, we had to stay with them, so you have to supervise them and stay with them. But it just meant the staff did take over and they kind of showed them and looked after them, showed them bits and pieces. So it was a little bit of, like, relief for us. Like, we did have to be there, but the staff did sort of take them under the wing and kind of show them.
I just went and did a bit of colouring. Oh, yeah, it was Tracy, on the light box. Mike was out there. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's a definitely...
That was nice. Yeah, so we do feel it, and... We felt it in the park. I still got emotional going towards Tomorrowland, as I always do. Yeah, you know. So it is still there. I just think, in general, just the not necessarily the lines, because we had a good experience with line times, but I think it's just the amount of people around. It didn't used to feel like that.
Another magical thing that we got emotional about was the Christmas tree in Grand Floridian. We like that.
Oh, yeah, that's the Christmas
tree. We had a really gorgeous family picture in front of that. That was cute, wasn't it?
Yeah, we like the Christmas tree in Grand Floridian, don't we?
Yeah.
It is definitely busier than it has been. I think it's just everyone's trip's cancelled for so long.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be next year or so where it's just going to be busy.
Communal areas feel like there's more people in them.
Everywhere seems a lot busier, and I don't know what it is, but everyone's going for the 50th. Everyone's just thinking, I've put off my trip for 2020. And it's just a few things things should have been opened up by now. We should have had Tron, we should have had Guardians, so that would have taken people away.
We went to Magic Kingdom on the 22nd December. We're expecting it to be crazy. Got Genie Plus. And when we didn't have Genie Plus, we went in for a rope drop, and the lines weren't bad, but there was people everywhere. But we like 5 minutes on Buzz Lightyear. Our longest was like 10 minutes on It's a Small World, wasn't it? And Journey Under the Sea was like 5 minutes as well. But we've come off these things, and I don't know what it is. There just seem to be people everywhere, which is strange.
It's weird because the queues have changed. Where, like, people move on, it's because of the social distancing they used to do. They seem to still do that in a little bit of a way, where all the lines, like, Big Thunder, goes all the way back.
Moves out. Tomorrowland certainly experiences that still. Even Buzz Lightyear, it was out.
It's a big one. Enforcing, like, a metre or a 2 metre rule, but I think people's natural instincts are to kind of hold back a tiny bit. So, times that by a few... 100 or 1,000 or whatever, then you are creating a ginormous line, aren't you?
Yeah.
Have they still got Perspect screen in the queues?
Some, not all. I think they've taken a lot of them down.
Are they still there, Pirates?
No.
No?
No, I think they've removed quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I can't remember exactly. I remember seeing some, but not in all situations. Yeah. Buzz, a bit half and half.
The Buzz Lightyear Space Rangers spin, isn't it? Yeah, some would come down, some were up. They're down on all the ride vehicles now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like Jungle Cruise, I was sitting shoulder to shoulder with people all like back to normal. Or Jingle Cruise, sorry.
Yeah. And what did the kids make of it? That's my most exciting part of this, because, you know, you've got three young kids. You've already said that the magic came to them, which I was really intrigued of, because in our start of the month February show, Josh and Joe did a bit, and one of the things that they'd mentioned was the fact that when you're staying on resort, it's quite often some of the things that the cast members do and then some of the activities that they do that my kids remember, and they're much older. Yeah. And I'm intrigued that sort of that bit of magic is existing for your kids and giving them a lift towards going back again.
Yeah.
And what was it like in the parks for them? That's what I'm really wanting to know.
Do you know what? It's probably the parks was that they liked the rides when they were on them.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it was kind of like they were more inclined or they felt more enthused about the community hall.
I think that's because our kids are quite sociable children. They're quite confident children and they're quite sociable. So I think having that human interaction in the community hall, that's what they kind of feed off, is that communication with people. So I think maybe it's just the age, because they're kind of quite needy and they like a lot of attention, which obviously the cast members gave them in the hotels, very kind of over the top in their American way, and gave them lots of attention and lots of treats, which they like. So they prefer the hotel as opposed to parks. But Brody doesn't cope well with the heat, so that was really, really affected him. Like, we've not been on holiday since he was a baby, obviously, because of COVID. So when we arrived and he smacked with that Floridian heat, even though it's supposedly cooler, he was just like, what on earth is this? Like, he's used to cold, rainy England, so he wasn't accustomed to
it. Yeah, he's like, he doesn't like the heat.
Yeah,
so we're
in the parks. I think that's why you
But in the parks, some of the experience, it was like Tomorrowland Speedway, which is now a bit sort of pedestrian for us after it's, you know, years and, you know, 20 years ago riding that. But for them, they're driving a car, which they've never been go-karting.
They love that.
Yeah.
And it's really like even Bo, who's three, he was sitting in the driver's seat. I had to reach the pedal for him.
But again, it's that interaction. It's an interactive ride. Yeah. They're getting involved in it. So anything like that on that level where they can take part, they love rather than being
affected. But that really just, that blew the mind. And it's like, we're driving a car here.
Yeah.
And mummy and daddy are sitting in the passenger seat.
It'd be interesting. So it'd be interesting to know what they remember. Because when we took Millie and she was, I guess she was like four or five, I thought she would remember everything. And even now we talk about it and she just doesn't remember the stuff that I thought she would remember. She remembers certain things, and she remembers specific interactions that have really stuck in her head. But general things like, you know, particular rides or, you know, shows and stuff, she just doesn't remember, which I'm shocked. But, you know, that her brain is just... It hasn't retained it, which is really sad. But I remember it when I was like, yeah, we've done this. And she's like,
I don't remember,
mummy.
Like, maybe the memories aren't laying down tracks, but certainly we took Brody very young, a couple of times, I think 7 months and a year and a half, maybe something like that. And it's doing something with the synapses, because we found that every time after those 2 weeks, it was just coming on.
Yeah.
There's something about being there. I think it's...
It's the overstimulation, isn't it? Yeah. In the multi-sensory stimulation that happens, the smells, the sights, the sounds.
Do you think they can sense something, though? Do you think they can sense something on an underlying level? Because the good vibes and enthusiasm, like grown-ups...
I think they probably feed off the positivity that happens as a family while you're there. And certainly, I think that's what my kids have felt, is that, you know, it's... You do obviously see some people having a meltdown and having a bicker as a family, but generally people there having a good time, and certainly the memories we have are as a positive family experience. You know, I always joke that my kids are never better friends than when we're in Walt Disney World or in Disney Park. They're suddenly like besties, and always have been, which is bizarre. It's because like they can be at each other's throats and then we'll walk into the Magic Kingdom and suddenly they're holding hands down the road. But there is some, I think there is something, you know, subconscious level of positivity, happiness, relaxation and escapism that obviously kids absorb as well, whether they are aware of it or not. So I think there probably is something in it.
Yeah. The thing, Brody, when we went to Universal, what was it, 2019? Wow, almost 3 years ago now. Wow, COVID's like the Marvel blip, isn't it?
Totally.
How long?
Pre-COVID.
I wasn't here.
PC.
Yeah. So all he remembers from that is the sliding door in the Cabana Bay family suite.
it's the simple things, though, isn't it? It's the simple things. That's it.
I think he should get his own space. I want my own space again when we go on holiday. I don't want to share a room with mummy and daddy.
I think as well, you're probably on your last trip as well, the character interactions are very different, aren't they? So, you know, you say you've got sociable kids. That they strike me as the type of children that if you had that sort of proper meet and greet, you would have such amazing fun with characters prior to COVID. It could become the most amazing experience that the characters really make your holiday come alive. And once that returns, that will be another massive step forward, because I think, you know, it strikes me that you could have some amazing fun with some children. Some of the characters could have those moments. Get some amazing photos and amazing video as well.
Yeah, we've always integrated Ohana breakfast in the past, haven't we? It was a shame. We do that, you know, every time. And you got Mickey there for a start, haven't you? And then,
yeah,
you know, we can take or leave some of the others, but you've got Mickey on that.
I mean,
that,
the only thing we did try to do, which was available character-wise, and it's not a character, but it's go and see Santa, you know, at the toy, what's the toy store?
Yeah.
Disney Springs.
Yeah, and it was very underwhelming, I have to be honest.
This was a free one, it was a virtual queue and everything.
I was very disappointed with Disney. I know it's COVID and it was like keeping a social distance.
He's sitting there all day, though, isn't he, at a distance from people?
Sam, he's paid to do a job.
Santa on the Santa on the cavalcade.
Yeah.
I did like...
Which one?
Santa on the cavalcade, you know, as it was coming past the Magic Kingdom.
What, the parade?
Maybe he just likes being on the cavalcade. That's what it is. You know, likes being on the outdoors. You know, a little bit of a trip down
there. I was like, that's the real Santa there. I don't feel it was real Santa.
See you, Jim. He did be Lloyd. I got done for that way back with 2008. I got done for that time.
Yeah, and it's Santa in Magic Kingdom is Santa, full stop.
It's the most beautiful feeling as a dad. It's the most beautiful feeling on earth. It really is. You know, and I've said it before. I'm not going to repeat it again because it's February. Do you know something? That's a cracking thing to come back to.
Yeah.
Because you kind of get on the plane and you feel in that, you're already sort of in that, the holiday's over mood, aren't you?
Yeah, so actually, the airport.
Yeah, and you actually, when you leave, it you need that high in order to get on the plane.
Yeah,
with that buzz and to have that feeling that when you're on the plane, it's like, right, we need to book the next one.
Yeah, we've got Vegas. We've done Florida. We've done Orlando, Disney World 6 nights. We've done a cruise 7 nights. And then we flew from Miami to Las Vegas for 4 nights at the end. And then it was the end of the honeymoon. Yeah. So we just got to the airport.
Remember what you said to me when we got to the airport? It was so sad that it was over. It was like nearly crying. And then we got to the airport and he was like, we'd literally run out of money. Like, we'd taken cash with us and we'd run out. We'd had the best time ever. We treated ourselves loads of gifts and loads of souvenirs. Like, we'd really gone to town, but we'd spent a fortune. So in the airport, we literally had no money left. And then we just felt so sad. We hit the bar and we were like, just honestly intending just to have one drink before we like got on the plane. Yeah. But there was another couple that were there that were kind of ready to party. And we just kind of got kind of like carried away with them, didn't we? And ended up like drinking loads, just whacking it on the credit card. We were on the holiday to end, but we literally had no money left.
But that was the only reason I was able to get on the plane without crying or being dragged on. Yeah. You're absolutely right, John. You need that, you know, this time we did kind of the holiday, leaving Saratoga Springs, leaving Walt Disney World, leaving the bubble and going to stay to an interim hotel halfway to Miami.
Yeah.
Just to cut the travel distance to the airport the next day when the hotel wasn't really much. It was a nice big room, but it was just kind of like, we've ended the holiday a day early here for no reason.
Yeah.
Don't stay at that hotel.
I feel
like a bit like crawling. I didn't even want to put my clothes on the couch. It was a
huge room and it had like, it was almost like a junior suite where you had the bed to one end, you had a couch and dining, lounge the other end. But because it had not been sort of refurbed in
30 years.
30 years. You align that with it being unclean.
Well, it doesn't help when you've gone from a newly refurbished room in Saratoga, which was like pristine and gorgeous.
Yeah, it was like,
and then you've got such an extreme jump down the other end of the scale. A room that's not been refurbed for 30 years. Like, I think ordinarily I would have still been a bit like, ooh, but the fact that we've gone from one extreme to the other, I was really like,
I could have gone further down the scale. This was a hot Hilton Garden Inn. I could have, there was lots of others.
It was much worse. Yeah. Sounds like the sticky floor club.
It's, that's quite an interesting one, though, because a lot of people pay so much attention when they, and this is a Miami thing, and we've been, for the similar reason to you, you can save a lot of money flying from London into Miami.
Yeah, lots.
We've done that route. We've done the staying over halfway up on arrival. We've also done the alternative of coming back down. That coming back down from Orlando, that sort of 5-hour drive on the day of your flight,
yeah,
I've got to say, is one where I personally, because of the road, I would never recommend it, because when that road grinds to a standstill, you don't want to be looking at your flight time. We did a stopover at Disney's, was it Vero Beach?
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Yeah,
on the way back down to Miami. And that for us was kind of a little halfway house, you know, where you just feel, We've left that little bit of Orlando magic.
Yeah.
We're just dipping our little toe into the last little semblance of Disney before we have to get back in the car. And it worked much better for us. Yeah. But that whole journey back is something that I don't feel a lot of people talk about, because it is such a difficult one to get right, and it's a difficult one to actually plan for.
I think it's trial and error,
isn't it? We were kind of Dania Beach, which is just north of Hollywood Beach, which is north of Fullerdale, or south of Fullerdale? North of Fullerdale.
North, it'd be so north, wouldn't it?
Like 35 minutes to Miami and Sacramento Airport. So it was great. So no stress in the morning. We've got the cases together. Checkout was 12. You've got plenty of time. We were still kind of late to the airport. Because Miami...
Yeah, it's just...
You go and drop your bloody car off, and then there's a monorail to get to the terminal with three kids, and all the cases get from the car rental centre to the main turn. It's like, and then
Lloyd, it's better than it was. It used to be by a bus, I'm quite thankful that monorail's plussed it up for me. I must admit.
You know what? If they hadn't put that in, I'd be considering ordering a taxi to wait for us to take us to a different car rental place.
Yeah.
I got me out Alamo from Miami.
Somewhere. Yeah, just slightly off site.
Just so I can get all the cases on a trolley from over and in a car.
I remember trying to drive in and find the car return. Straight forward at Miami. Yeah. And when you're returning your car and the system, you have to go around to try and drive in.
It's like a weird sort of like app on your phone. Click left or right now. Which one? No,
left lane.
I must say, though, is for every penny or every pound that you save on the flight, it's well worth it. To us, it's been well worth it, because what it's actually afforded us is the ability to do so much more during the course of a holiday that we couldn't budget for elsewhere. So when the saving is so big going into Miami,
because it's
quite a big business route from London.
Yeah,
I hadn't actually been aware of that, and there's so many business flights going that it's not the tourist trek to Orlando or Tampa.
That's how we ended up with the flight, because we booked during the COVID pandemic, and actually flights from Manchester to Orlando were not happening. Yeah. So it weren't worth it. It comes with
risk, though. So if you choose this route, your airline's not going to cancel it, or weren't going to cancel it. We're kind of out of a nice end at the moment.
Yeah.
You can see like this. So you're not necessarily going to get a full refund. You're going to have to go through insurance. Yeah. Now, BA were nice enough. We had this route booked, because I'm quite frugal, previously in COVID. And because the restrictions hadn't changed, BA understood their customers and went, right, if you want to cancel this, let us know, and it's full refund.
Yeah,
really cool, which I've done in the past. But this time, I don't mind saying it was 1,500 quid saving.
Yeah,
on doing
it's massive though, isn't it? It's massive.
Let's just point out that we did have a horrendous journey going to Florida. When we came back, I was like, Lloyd, I'm not sure I want to go to fly to Miami again. And Lloyd was saying to me, but Emma, it's a huge, huge saving. I was like, I really don't care.
It was a perfect storm. So we hit Miami. Coming into rush hour, the kids are very slow, so we took ages getting out of the airport. So we took 2 hours from landing to get out of the airport, right in rush hour. An hour out of Miami, Then there was an accident on the turnpike.
Yeah.
So it was across country and then US 27. Whereas you, as soon as you start getting to the major towns, traffic light. I was like, when are we getting out of this town? Traffic light. Five more traffic lights. So another 5 minutes for each one, 25 minutes, right? Looking at like Google Maps.
More traffic lights than that.
We're looking at Google Maps. We've got we've got 15 miles to the next town.
Crazy, isn't it?
Floor it next 15 miles. Next town, Haines City. Traffic light.
Yeah. And see, that's the reason why Claire will never go to Miami ever again.
And whereas I getting off the plane,
and I will always go to Miami if it saves me £1,500.
Whereas I'll happily go to Tampa because actually, even though you hit Tampa when you if you fly in BA into Tampa,
Tampa's
you arrive at like half three, quarter to four, and hit a little bit of traffic coming through Tampa. By the time you've got your car, it's half past four. You hit that little bit of rush hour for 20 minutes, but then it's a straight run. 45 minutes later, you're in the bottom end of the 192. And Tampa Airport is so lovely. And I know I go on, I bang on about it, but it is the nicest airport I've ever been to, other than I think probably Dubai. It's the people are nice, the people are friendly, it's clean, it's quiet, it's got the best attraction in the whole of all out of Florida and the monorail to get your car. It's brilliant. So, I wouldn't go into Miami now, I'm afraid, even if it's safe.
This segment has been brought to you by the Tampa International Airport.
No,
officially sponsored by Claire.
That's all right. I have no issue saying how great it is there.
I've only ever flown into MCO, so. Yeah.
They haven't got Tampa. Hasn't got
I don't know you're born.
I think we did have a terrible experience, didn't we? Because we had a 5-hour journey up to Orlando when we thought it was only going to be three, which with three little kids in the car, 2 hours extra is a lot. And then on the way back, obviously, I've already said that I didn't like the hotel we stayed in.
Yeah, but it was easy to drive, though, wasn't it? Because it was nice and...
So I was done. I was done with Miami. I'm not doing this again. No way.
We're doing it in May.
Yeah, I know.
How are you?
Emma's meeting you in Orlando, Lloyd. That's it. Emma's going direct. She'll meet you there with the kids.
We're trying to mix it up, and we're dropping into Vero Beach, like you've said.
And then, then Margaritaville further down. When we land, though, we're landing later, and we're just going to that first night. We're going to power through.
Yeah.
We're going to get to Saratoga. Saratoga Springs, and we're just going to wake up. The kids won't mind. We'll wake up in Saratoga Springs next morning, and it'll be like we're here.
So we're going to try it one more time, but with a slightly different approach, and then we'll give you a summary as to what the final conclusion is.
Let us know how you get on.
Twice then with two different options, and then we'll take it from there. But it's a funny one, isn't it? Because like you say, there's a huge saving, but there are huge disadvantages as well. So it's trying to make it work both ways.
Yeah. How did you find the car hire this time? Because obviously it's gone up ridiculous prices and everything since.
Do you know what? We did the May booking and this booking during COVID. So we got really good deals. We did the BA, they don't call it fly drive. It was just BA, flight plus car, whatever name they give to it. And it was pretty good. Yeah. December was ridiculously cheap. December was the flights plus an SUV. The code on BA works out differently to Virgin and Alamo because it was through budget. And the SUV was actually a luxury SUV. It wasn't the full-size one, but it was sort of an intermediate or medium one, but it was the luxury version of it. So we got like a Buick, I can't remember what it was called now, but it was beautiful. It was really, really nice. We got a slow puncture halfway through, so we had to change it for something which was awful. but it was a beautiful car, but... Yeah, so we found the car hire integrated into the whole flight cost wasn't too bad this time. When I've looked independently, because I was thinking, well, we're not there yet. I'll look at individual flights again because I can still cancel. The car hire is astronomical, isn't it? It's ridiculous. But our car hire this time is we've got, I think we've got the standard SUV, which is something like a Toyota RAV4, something like that. Which might stretch us with the three kids and all our cases.
It's the baggage, it's the luggage.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we take Emma's car down to Heathrow. We're flying from Heathrow again to save money. But Emma's car, the Sportage, I think is the lower of the range over there. So if we can fit all the luggage in Emma's car, we'll be all right going.
That's the theory.
But then coming back,
we might I love this. I love this level of pre-planning here. This is taking it to the end.
But coming back, we'll be able to stop cases and stuff like that. We might have to post one of the kids home. Not funny story or not funny story, it's bad planning. But we, when we change resorts, we can't take the twin buggy with us that we rent.
Won't fit in the car. I'm gonna have to walk.
So this time, Brody put his knees up, didn't he? And so I got it across the middle of like the middle part of the SUV.
So we changed
from Saratoga to Animal Kingdom Lodge. So Emma's going to have to go walk from Saratoga to, or get the boat, whatever you fancy doing, to Disney Springs and get the bus to Disney Springs.
Oh, God.
Do you want to carry it?
Emma, do it on your own and stop off at the boathouse and the Jock Lindsay's. And just make a little bar. I've had a couple of drinks.
The bartender's lovely.
Dockside bar, a glass of moonshine from Artsmith. You know, it'd be perfect. It'd be a nice afternoon on your own.
I might just disappear for a couple of hours.
As long as you get there and you get the pushchair, that's fine.
That's the benefit of staying at Saratoga. Just a short walk away.
Exactly. No, but if Emma's not in the car, you can get the pushchair in the car, so Emma can just go on her own.
You can put it in the front seat.
That's a plan. There's a plan being hatched here. There really is.
We'll work it. We can work it out, Emma. I'm sure that Becky can drink.
This is like Tetris, isn't it?
Just a Tetris.
They will. Yeah.
We could do that.
You could just drop the
buggy off and ask them to transport it over for you.
Point. And like one case and one child.
That's the easiest thing to do.
You know, it's like it's a tip, and I'm always uncomfortable. What do I tip them for bringing my luggage to me?
A dollar per bag.
Yeah, a dollar or two per bag.
Or get them to take your luggage and put the buggy in your car so that you've got the buggy in case you need to take the kids out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can put the, by then, 6 days in, we'll have a dirty washing suitcase anyway, won't we? Yeah. That one, another one. Yeah.
When you do the washing at Saratoga, have you got a studio or have you got a one bed?
Who does washing on holiday?
We've got a studio, but we will use the laundry.
I'd bring everything home clean if I can.
Yeah, I'll wear the same.
Wash it all before you come home, and then you don't have to do that horrible thing when you get home.
But I have to be honest, literally coming home this time, it took me almost a week to get
through. Yeah.
This is the middle of winter.
We have the same issue.
We take
our soft bag, our soft holder, and that tends to be the dirty laundry thing. So we get in the habit of just forcing it in there. And then it's a big thing, and we just stick on the plane coming back. We don't have to worry about it.
Oh, my God, can you imagine coming home? You know, washing to do. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, you still have to do the ironing.
We're going to try it. That's one of the things where that's why we have a villa. We're going to try that this trip. We're going to try that this trip.
It's so nice knowing that you haven't got cases full of dirty clothes.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Do you want to know the other thing? As well, which the kids might pick up on, this is a little one as well. Because the detergent in America smells differently. So whenever you get home,
it's a holiday,
and the kids put the clothes on that have been washed in America, it's like, oh, it still smells of the holidays. We're back in Florida. It might be raining at home and stuff like that. But it instantly takes them back there. It's really.
We did that on our first Target trip. So we did that like day one. Target, let's get the essentials. We're DVC, so let's get loads of food and things like that. Yeah. And we got a bag of Tide, didn't we? Tide little capsules. Yeah. We didn't use any yet. I know we use a couple in the sink.
We do a bit of sink washing,
like old school.
Yeah, like emergency.
Like Widow Twanky. Actually,
some of the Disney resorts as well, in particular, the laundry facilities are absolutely exceptional.
They're brilliant, right?
What you'll find is you can actually, I'm even thinking back to when we stayed at, I think it was the yacht club, and we were poolside doing the laundry. And it was in one of the little pools, and the laundry room was really good. You go and do your laundry, You then go sit out for a little bit of sun. You then keep changing the washing over. This and it is such a
There's an app on your phone now.
Yeah, but it's an easy thing to do, and it's like a little hidden perk, and it's something that maybe a lot of people don't think of doing. But I'm with Claire. When you get to it, if you're doing an off-site villa, everything's washed, and it really does make just make a massive difference.
Yeah,
massive difference when you get home. But
when we originally started going to Disney, it was just the two of us.
Yeah,
but that was five.
Yeah,
so washing was a bit of a shock when we got home. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. It's the kids washing, isn't it, in particular?
T-shirts with chocolate ice cream down them and stuff.
Yeah.
10 days.
Wear the same T-shirt/underwear for 4 or 5 days.
Bo wasn't quite. He was in the middle of potty training, so he had a few accidents and stuff, didn't we? So it was a lot of washing. We'll take that tip.
Yeah. I'll take the boys to the pool.
Yeah, I knew that
today. Our mum does the washing. Yeah. You stick the app on and go and sit at the bar, Emma.
Yeah. I've failed again.
Yeah. This is a win-win all round for you, Emma, isn't it? Yeah, it's like, whenever Lloyd's sort of giving you all them handy Floridian tips.
If you guys not told me, I'd just do what he says. Instead, I can go and have a drink.
Yeah, that usually works. I think for certainly for Claire now, that's the preferred option.
Don't know what you're talking about, John.
No,
always has a drink.
Yeah,
you're on holiday.
Calories don't count on holiday.
You walk them off. That's what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. You've believed them off in Disney. Them off.
They magic.
Yeah.
They magic.
They disappear.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Joe, it's been such a lovely chat with both of you. It really has. I would love it. It'd be lovely to get you both back on again just to be part of the planning of your next trip. And just to be part of that whole sort of expectation, excitement, and that growing... You know, that growing sort of awareness that it might all happen because I think everyone's been starved of that. You know, that whole thing where nobody's really known for a couple of years now of when are we going to be allowed out? Are we going to have to stay in? Are we going to be locked in? Are we going to be whatever? So, you know,
I think you should extend that open invitation to Lloyd and Emma.
Absolutely.
You're always welcome.
Oh, thank you very much.
That, Claire.
And do you know what? You guys have, you know, you've kept the magic going throughout COVID. And, you know, watching Ben and Becca's vlogs now, you know, seeing people back in the magic, you know, it's lovely to watch. Apart from the episode, we lost all your footage.
Oh, I know. It had to happen.
I don't know where it went. We're going to end up finding it one day.
Yeah. It's what happens when you have too many SD cards. You're not sure which one's on which.
Yeah. Seth Rogen might have stolen it and sold it to someone.
Yeah, it's probably on the,
not
on
all
the,
that interesting.
It's probably on the dark web somewhere.
Yeah. No,
is that
the
footage you were taking?
No.
And it's, you know, I still chip in, you know, Waffler Wednesdays when if Emma's looking after the boys, I dive in here and there.
No, it's
to see you anyway, which is lovely to interact. And I, as you know, Brody came down the last one. It's like, they're your friends. I said, right, I'll say you say hello now. And he was just smiling ear to ear when you said hello back.
No.
Oh, it's so nice.
He was like, could they see me?
Bless him.
It's not a computer, but they can. I just typed them and they could see what I was reading, what I wrote. He's like, oh.
That's so cute.
Aww. That's so lovely, and it's the thing as well, Lloyd. Is the fact why you've been so missed by us all, and it's been so nice having you back on, just to share that sort of companionship that I think we all started off doing all of this.
Yeah.
Sort of what seemed like a really sort of a long time ago, but it isn't.
It was before the blip.
And actually to have that sort of ability to put the show together for February, where it's just been that sort of a little arm around each other and a little reminder of where we all started. And it's such a special feeling, it really is, and certainly shared by me. You know, and it's something I'm actually getting to the stage where I need a holiday. I need a holiday in the United States.
John,
and
it's
the more. If you want a golf trip, you find the best course to play, whether it's Europe, America, and we'll go and we can spend. Let's do a week. Let's not take the mic. Let's just do 7 days somewhere and play some golf.
Yeah. That sounds good to me. Yeah, Orlando preferably. Yeah, that's it.
Just flying to Miami because it's cheaper.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Every time, Ben. Every time.
I'm going to have to look at Miami in future now.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure I want
to. Claire's not going. Claire's,
not sure I want to drive 5 hours. I think I'd rather go to Tampa.
You've got to think, how strong's our relationship for that drive?
I know. I was thinking about avoiding rolling. I'm thinking, no. Just stick with it.
That's what you said, Nicole.
Stick with JFK and changing it JFK.
This is supposed to be 3.5 hours from Miami to Orlando.
Oh, we just have to about it. Once you get there, you forget it.
We did. As soon as we drove in, saw the first Disney sign, ka-ching, 1,500 quid in my pocket, and we're here.
It's true.
And we're still
just
together.
Just think of the stuff you could spend in the outlet.
Like in the back.
Yeah.
just think what 1,500 quid to buy in the outlet.
Yeah, we're just spending money.
Not like Disney, but a lot in the outlet.
Yeah, the thing I'm more relieved by that, Lloyd, because actually I'm, you know, since you're not being with us, you know, I'm the one who comes across as being really tight. You know, it's that tight northerner who won't spend his money. But actually, I actually see the value. And like Emma just said, any money that's saved, it's outlets, it's tickets for other things. Yeah. And actually, it affords you to be able to have the holiday a lifetime every single time. So I don't care. I'd much rather say, I'd rather not give Virgin or BA me money because I don't really remember that part of the holiday. I remember the bits in the park, the bits that really do matter with your family.
Yeah. Because we don't squimp when we're on holiday. It's just we squimp to get there and then we have a wonderful time when we're there. Yeah. So we kind of do it that way around. So
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
We pedal sitting on chicken coops if it saves a bit more money.
I'm building an ark for my next trip.
Yeah.
An ark across the Atlantic.
If it's a saving, we'll be there.
Yeah.
If it saves more and I've got a row, I'll row. We will too. And the kids, it's fine.
Yeah.
Take turns.
As long as someone there is banging a drum to keep a rhythm.
Hey, Toby, we're getting that new Moana thing in Epcot. If we had a drum banger and all that, we'd be all in tune. We'd just sort of turn up. Here you go. Here's your new Moana attraction.
A Rivers by a hawk.
Oh dear. So tell you what, Lloyd. Where can our listeners, watchers, and all that find you on social media? I know you've got other things that you do online as well. So, sell your products because to be really honest,
out of our vlogging at the moment, because of the kids, and I've got 3 cases and a bag on my shoulder, and Emma's got 2 kids. It's hard to film, we basically put a holiday video,
like
not
a
vlog, like a proper old school holiday.
Excellent,
video.
Love it.
We just did it for our mums and parents.
Yeah.
We had a little project. He wants me to put up all water slides. So that's Party of 5 Adventures on YouTube. You can see some water slides. You can see Hard Rock Hotel. You can see Saratoga Springs. And we forgot to do Old Key West. So there's a couple of water slides on there. And then there's our old school family video.
But you might do it more.
We'll do it more next time we go. You know, I'm learning how to hold a camera and juggle and... Without dropping them, which is the main thing.
The camera.
Yeah. You know, he's been fine.
Never drop the camera.
See, what you've got to do is teach him to hold the camera.
That's how bad our holiday video is on Party of Five Adventures, because Brody picks it up on the plane and he's filming my knee whilst talking to me.
Yeah,
and then he puts it like my face and then something else, and then I'm filming out the plane window like you do on all the good vlogs.
Yeah,
and then all you can hear is Roman in the background going.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go watch it. You're gonna get like a load of hits.
It's next to June in the Oscars this year.
Well, saying that, I think Brody's a potential future vlogger. It looks, Ryan's World. He's got aspirations to be Ryan.
So he calls it Brody. He calls the little channel we've done Brody's World.
That's cool.
We've got him in training
and future proofing the waffle. Obviously,
right. Absolutely.
After the recent episode and Brody, you've got this. This is like 100 years.
Well, it's going to be
everyone else.
Adam, it's going to be in good hands, guys, isn't it?
The waffle still good going on. Tim Tracker, yeah. Who's Tim Tracker? The waffle. 20.
brilliant.
The other little thing you don't want to watch is on YouTube. I just talked to my mates about movies. The Great Movie Show. Yeah. We're not very informed. I don't watch the movie beforehand. One of my mates hasn't seen the movie, like Die Hard and...
Like ever.
He missed like Die Hard when it was coming out originally. So he watches it for the first time. And then my other mate does a lot of research and passes it off as his own knowledge. So he's like, what did you know that, Joe McKenna did this and did this? And it's like... So that's the Great Movie Show. If you want to watch that on YouTube, and that's where you can find us. But I wouldn't recommend it. Wait till next time we're on and we've got some better channels and better content. But if you want to, if you're bored and you've gone through everything else, the Great Movie Show. Yeah. It's funny because it's that bad. Yeah. The great Movie Show on YouTube. Find us, and you can find us a Great Movie Show on Instagram as well, where we post little bloopers from the show, which is probably the best bit, and they're only 3 seconds long, so you can watch them if you want.
Wonderful.
I think you should watch the Great British Mickey Waffle. That's what I'm at the moment. You can find them at, or Ben will tell you now where you can find them.
Oh, we're everywhere at GB Mickey Waffle on all Facebook. My brain's gone.
Facebook Instagram,
Twitter, there you go. Instagram.
The Great British,
probably Twitch,
YouTube,
TikTok.
And TikTok as well.
Then we want to wear the Mickey Waffle. Where can we find the merch?
You can find it.
Merch? On... Just like T-shirts. Like
just this one. Just like John is wearing. If you head to our website, gbmickeywaffle.com, and click on our support page, you'll find our links to our Redbubble and TeePublic page.
As recently seen on our wonderful Facebook community, where I was in London and was able to have the Houses of Parliament and Big Ben in the background whilst wearing said T-shirts.
Yeah.
Go to the arms, check out John's photos.
Yeah, but also the challenge is out there, though, Lloyd, for anyone who buys a T-shirt, get yourself photographed in some amazing places, put them in the Waffler's arms, put them... Just share them with us, because it's just, and if you're in a Disney park especially, because actually that's really what we're hoping to get to see loads of people who enjoy listening to us, watching us, just actually enjoying being back in Disney parks, just like you guys did over Christmas. I'm pretty certain your kids are just going to love the planning into the next one. I know both of you are. Just a massive thank you for joining us. It's been just such a delight to get you back on board. Yeah, and Emma, you need to be back on here as well, because actually, yeah,
Emma needs a medal.
I think Emma's got more planning out of tonight's chat for her next trip. That's going to be
bad influence as well. She's a safer bet to have on the channel.
You know what? I think we need to do a Waffler's Wednesday with Emma and me and Becca and maybe Robin about cocktails and drinks in Disney. Oh,
yeah. I think we can get that done.
Yeah,
we could do a girls' night out.
There you go, Lloyd.
I'll give you a show. We can do a show following Wednesday about Boba Fett and
golf.
Okay, yeah. Golf is being added to the list.
Add them to the list. Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. I'll tell you what, that's been a delight. And just thanks again. And there's only one thing left to say, and I'm going to let you guys say it. Because this is the joy of being guests on the show. So after you.
Waffle on!
Waffle on!
Waffle on!
Waffle on!